Well, today is going to be a special day. Like Andy said, the idea for today started at a North Point staff meeting. For those of you who I have not had the chance to meet, my name is Holly, and I'm the executive pastor around here. Some of you thought I was just here to volunteer to do the announcements, but I actually work on staff, and I work with all the teams here at North Point, and one of the teams I get to work with is a crew that puts together this Sunday morning experience for you guys. And because of that, I get the chance to know a lot of the worship leaders around here. So during my role, and as time has gone on, I've really gotten to know some of the stories of some of the worship leaders and the faces that you see on the stage all the time. And I thought, you know what? Since I lead the staff, it would be so cool if our staff could meet these worship leaders and hear some of their stories. And so I invited them in to a North Point staff meeting a couple months ago. And that meeting was so impactful. We talked about it for weeks. And we started talking about, hey, what would it look like for us to have this conversation in front of our whole church? And so that's what we're gonna do today. It's gonna be different, but it is going to be something that I think many of us are gonna remember for a while. I think some of the tensions and some of the truths that we're gonna hear in their stories are gonna be relatable to you and to me and to wherever you are in your story. We're in a series entitled My Story, My Song, and we've said this about songs. Songs just have a way of stamping a time or a season in our life. You know, a song can play and it can take you back to a memory, or maybe that Green Day song comes on the radio and you're like, I'm in high school again. Anybody? Takes me right back to 1998. But no matter what that song is for you that kind of jogs a memory or takes you back to a different time, worship songs are even more impactful than that because they carry these great truths about God. And so during our series, we've said, hey, let's highlight some of these song messages that we just don't want people to miss. We sing these songs in church, but what do they really mean? And here's the thing about a great worship song. A great worship song carries great theology. And a lot of times we learn a lot of our theology by the songs that we sing. We sing these great truths and we sing these thoughts about God. And so today, we're gonna pair some of those songs right next to some real life stories. We're gonna look at the truths of the songs, we're gonna observe God's character, and we're gonna put some real life nitty gritty stories right up next beside them and some real life people. And here's what I think you're gonna see today. I think you're gonna see how God's faithfulness intersects with the faith of his people. And here's my hope for our time today. I hope that you're gonna be encouraged that same faithfulness, it is available to you and to me. The only difference between you and the people that are being interviewed today is that they can sing and we can't. Most of us shouldn't. But some people just get extra gifts. And so we're gonna hear from some of those folks today. They are some familiar faces, some worship leaders that you know and love. So for our first worship leader, please give a warm North Point welcome to Tan Smith. Tan, we're so glad you're here with us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Listen, let me just level set for a second here.
Please.
See, all this stuff going on up here, it looks nice and fun, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
It's scary to me. I was holding Sandra's hand
the
whole time down there, and I pushed Andy's knee like that. I'm going to hold his hand.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good call. Listen, you are in front of thousands of people. Ooh. Every week. So you can do this. You got this. Okay. We'll let you sing at the end.
Okay.
How's that?
That sounds good.
Okay. So Tan, we're friends. We've known each other for several years, and I have the pleasure of knowing your story. And I know that your story starts years and years and years ago back in church. You grew up in church. Your mom took you to church. Tell us what that was like.
Ooh, yeah. First of all, thank y'all for having me this morning.
Of course.
I grew up in a family filled with boys, four brothers, strong brothers. And we hung together, and my mom looked kind of, she's kind of looking at me like, I need to make a little shift here. You, little Missy, come with me. And I said, no, I want to stay with my brothers. And she said, no, I need to teach you how to become a little lady. Little ladies don't do this. Little ladies don't say that. Little ladies sit like this, and little ladies don't go there. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. So she took me everywhere with her, including Wednesday night choir rehearsal.
Yeah, and that's where you first did your first solo, right?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, so I was walking through the pews, just tiptoeing through the tulips, and Mama said, come here, Baby T. She calls him Baby T. Come here, Baby T, and try this song. And it goes like this. It's like a tree planted in Jesus. And that was it. So I learned that little line and sang it at Easter, and the crowd went crazy. I was like, what? I got something here. So I decided to hone those skills and listen to all the greats. Aretha Franklin, Celine Dion, Anita Baker, Whitney Houston. Couldn't hit none of those notes, but I was struggling and trying to make it. And that's how I learned how to sing, just listening to those ladies and really getting out there, going to talent shows and all kinds of concerts and stuff and just singing.
Yeah, and how did you make your way to North Point?
Very good question. I was at a recording session with Candy Shelton. You remember Candy? Great worship leader here. And then she invited me to sing at her brother Rick's memorial service, which Colette Taylor was the producer for the time being. And she invited me back to North Point to sing an opener. And honey, the rest is history. I was just bought and sold, honey. I love North Point. It was like a magnet, really, for all of us. Mm. So I just love being here.
What keeps you here? What keeps you coming back week after week?
The snacks.
Yeah, we do have a good breakfast. Yeah.
Baby, we got it going on in that green room. But listen, let me just tell you this. The first thing is Andy Stanley is top-notch when it comes to breaking that word down, breaking that scripture down to the very lowest common denominator. He breaks it down so nicely that even his grandchildren can understand it. Haven. And I don't say that to mince words. I say that because Andy can go with the theologians. He can go toe-to-toe with anybody. But he decides to break it down so that each and every one of us can get it. And I love that.
He's awesome. Good. Yeah. You break it down, too, though.
Come on now.
On this stage.
On.
Yes, you do.
Not at rehearsal.
That's all right.
Another thing I love about North Point is the discipline. There's an unwritten rule here that says you don't have to be great, but you gotta be professional. You gotta show up on time. You gotta have your stuff learned. Be nice in that green room. Don't go in there starting mess, or you're not gonna be here, okay? It's as simple as that. We let you go, baby.
Yeah, we got standards.
We got standards.
Yeah, so we love seeing you on stage. I've heard you say you get butterflies when you turn on the road to come here. Well, we get butterflies when we see you on stage. And I think what's so unique about you, Tan, is so personal to you is you're so connected to the words that you're singing. You just look like the worship is coming from an authentic place. How do you get there before you go on stage?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I'm not connected to every song we sing, but I try to talk to the Lord and say, give me something to help me get there. And he does it every time. But when it's on, it's on. We're here. And yeah, that's the thing that helps me is just talking to him like I'm talking to you. And he just reveals certain things. There's certain lines and songs that would just pierce and grab me. So that's how I prepare, just talking to him and saying, hey, give me what you want me to sing and give me the words and give, not the words, but just give me everything I need to use to sing the song effectively.
Yeah, you seem so connected when you're up on the stage. So we've known each other for a while, and I know a lot of your story. We have a lot in common, too. First of all, we're birthday twins.
Come on, birthday
twins. We have the same birthday.
December 26th.
Yeah. we've walked through some of the same losses. We both have lost our parents probably earlier than we would have wanted to. And I know part of your story is about a year ago. You lost your mother. I lost my mother when I was 39. And so there's just nobody like your mom.
Nobody.
There's nobody like your mom. And so can you talk to us about what your relationship was like with the Lord when you walked through that season?
Yeah, that was a tough season. My mom had dementia and some other health issues. So walking through that, I had my hand in his on that whole journey because Mama, she went through a lot. And then I got this call. The doctor said, if you don't get here today, you're not going to see your mama. She won't make it through the night. And I was in Atlanta, and she's in Louisiana, 10 hours drive. I can't drive. My husband drives us everywhere. I can't drive 10 minutes down the road without nodding. And I said, 10 hours? I told Aaron, I said, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not sure what happened to Aaron that day, why he couldn't go with me. But he said, you got to get in the car right now and go. This is it. So I got in that car and I drove, stopped a couple times and got gas and snacks. And I got there 20 minutes before she took her last breath. 20 minutes. So I thank Aaron to this day for telling me to get out of the house and get on that road and see her.
Yeah. You talked about when you went through that time of loss, that it was so deep and so hurtful losing your mom that you felt like you were in a pit.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what it was like being in the pit and how you got out?
Yeah, when I was with her, she took her last breath. They wheeled her out to the left. I wasn't invited to go. I had to go to the right with her luggage, without her, back to our home that I grew up in with her. Opened the door, I knew immediately that her spirit was not in there. And I was done. I was gutted. And from there, I started getting angry at God because I asked him to take her. But then when he took her, I was angry. Mm-hmm. So I was in a pit for a while. I didn't want to be here. I didn't care about Aaron was back in Atlanta. If the Lord let me go right then with her, I would have gone. I wouldn't have done anything to myself to force that. But I was open to the idea that he would say, okay, you can go now too. I was done. That was my girl.
Yeah.
My best friend.
It's so devastating, obviously, to lose a relationship that is that close and somebody you love so much. And you talked about being in the pit. And when you were telling me the story of what that was like and the pain and the isolation that you were feeling, there was this phrase that you said that was just a turning point for you in your story and in your walk with the Lord. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, I was so angry with God. And I said, you can't stay here. Because God's done so much for me. You need him every step of the way. So I just tried to lift my head. I said, because we're like this. I'm your girl. I need you. But I'm not happy with you right now for what you did. I know you did the right thing, but I was not happy with him for taking her. And I said, but in spite of that, I need him. And it hurt me that I hurt him. And being angry. And of course, God can take anything. He can handle everything that we have thrown at him. But he just wants to know that we want to be there and that we'll lift up our hand to reach out to his and hold on to it.
Yeah, I love that when you're in the pit and when all the emotions were just raging, that you remembered your relationship with the Lord, that I'm your girl. That's who I am to you. That I think that's so powerful, Tan.
Thank
you. I love that you made that decision to turn back to God, even when you were in the midst of hurt and disappointment. So what did you learn about God that you didn't know before that season?
I learned that he can take anything. You know, I was really, really upset with him to the point of screaming. I didn't scream any bad words, but I just screamed that I want my mama, you know? And he can handle it. And I learned that he's very, very patient with me in the midst of all that. He went through, because my emotions went the gamut. Yeah. Roller coaster ride, up and down. He stayed right by my side the whole time. So, you know, he loves you. He's going to be there with you. But we have to make the decision that we want him to be there because we all have free will. So you have to make that choice. God, I want you. I need you. And that's what we got to do. That's what I did.
I love that. He's big enough to handle all the emotions and all the disappointment.
Yeah.
Well, Tan, you're no stranger to loss. And Tan asked me if I could share this with the audience today. So Tan lost her mother about a year ago. And then 3 weeks ago, she lost her other best friend, her husband, Aaron. And so this is really fresh. And we told Tan, you do not need to do this today. We love you and we want to hear your story, but we can do it another time. And she was insistent on being here with you guys today. And Tan, I know in an audience this big and as many people watching online, there is somebody walking through exactly where you've been.
Yeah.
First, let me say, it's remarkable that you're here today sharing with us. So thank you for that. And another thing that is just remarkable about you is you're just an encouraging person. You just bring light and joy, even in the midst of pain. You bring that into rooms.
Thank you.
So if there's somebody here walking through a really difficult season today, what do you want to say to them?
I want to tell you to do what I did, and that is to get up. You have to make the decision to, okay, this has happened. There's nothing I can do about it. But what can I do? I can get up. I can get out and get some exercise, get some sun, let people come and help you. I'm always the first one to say, oh, I'm good. I don't need anything. I've changed that story. I'm like, yes, you want to come over and help me? Yes. You want to give? Yes. You want to take me to the movie? Of course. Not everybody now. Don't get in my DMs.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, Tana, because that's what the body of Christ should look like. Yeah. Surround each other and lift each other up. Tana, that's your story today. What's your song this morning?
Oceans.
And why did you choose that one? You're a mess.
I have to do this so I won't cry, y'all.
Yeah.
I selected Oceans because of that first line. It says, you call me out. And he called me out. Mm. I was in that pit. I was not coming out. I didn't care. I wasn't going to be a pit leading worship anymore. I was going to be in a corner somewhere rocking because my world was rocked and changed. So, yeah, Oceans is the one.
Mm. I love that. Well, Tan is going to sing for us this morning. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to get up and sing for Tan this morning. Will you join me? Thank you.
Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. clouds rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you.
Here's a box of tissues if anybody needs them. Wow. You're going to hang and grab that. Yeah. Oh, wow. Tan. Gosh, thank you. Your voice is so incredible, and you're even a more incredible person. Thank you. Thank you. Well, hey, if you have been around for any length of time, you know the Gibsons. This is Clarissa and Mark, but for some of you, you're new, and so you haven't had a chance to meet them yet, but they have been around our churches for more than 20 years. Yeah, I know, they've been around. And they just rejoined our team a couple months ago, so we're so glad to have you guys here today. And tell us a little bit about your journey with the church and with your career.
So first of all, there's people here, which is weird.
Yeah. They came to church. Yeah.
Every other time we've done this, there hasn't been anyone
here.
They're here.
So Tan said, you don't have to be great to be here. So I've been here since 2001, just flying under the radar. Started in what's called Transit Now. It was called Extreme then. Some of the best days of my life. It was so amazing being in there with the middle schoolers and doing the camps and all that stuff. Few years later, I was doing a show at the Velvet Underground, and she was opening up, and she didn't know me, but she needed to. So, So I reached out on MySpace.
Oh, that's a throwback right there. Yeah.
And I accepted?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. What else were you going to do? And then some time went by, and we got engaged pretty quickly, got married pretty quickly, had kids pretty quickly, who are now actually 17 and 14.
Oh, we even have a picture of them today. There they are.
Hey, look at that.
They hate that picture.
They hate the picture.
Yeah.
You know how teenagers are.
But luckily, Leela's like, you can't even see Dad. But you can. I'm there.
You're there.
Yeah. So the one, the brown one next to me actually acts like me. And the white one next to her actually acts like her. Yeah.
It's a good time in your house.
Oh, yeah.
We get asked if we're on separate tabs sometimes, like at the restaurant.
Yeah, you guys paying together or separate?
Yeah, we're like, what?
Yeah, they think that we're like blended family coming together. Yeah.
Which is okay.
Oh, he's a nice stepdad.
Stop.
He looks sweet.
Oh, y'all do have a beautiful
family. We're going off script.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. All right, so you're worship leading, and you have another part of your
career. Yes, so kids are teenagers. They're awesome. Raising teenagers is a wild ride. But through it all, we actually were able to lead worship while we were raising them, which is a massive blessing. We understand that it's a very unique situation, but we never missed their first steps. We never missed any extracurricular activities. And so over time, we just kind of cruised right there. And then we started our own business, which started with redoing furniture. So we would go pick up the furniture, redo it, drop it back off over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
You're like, how do we scale this?
Yeah, exactly. So
it was all in our garage.
So finding the scale, we have so many talented friends that we're making soaps and candles and stuff like that, that we were like, well, let's open a little boutique. No, I have never dreamed of opening a boutique. It just kind of fell together. So we actually rented out that little white house next to Brownsbridge Church. It's like an old cottage. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we started. We redid furniture there, and then we also had a boutique, and then that kind of slowly, actually very quickly, expanded into a 5,400 square foot place in a large shopping center in Cumming, Georgia. So it took off pretty quickly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so You guys are worship leading. You're loving it. You're getting time at home with the kids. Your business is booming. It's taking off kind of unexpectedly. And so really from the outside, it's like, this is a season where you are thriving. But I know you guys, and we've talked, and you've shared a lot of your story. And really, you characterize that season as the pride before the fall. Tell us why you talk about it that way.
Yeah, so as time went on, seeing her thrive and have this business and get so popular and people love her and all that, I'm her biggest fan. But that combined with raising a family and trying to be a good dad and good husband and probably some childhood stuff that was unresolved, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to, these whispers started happening with me. And I know now for a fact it was the enemy lying to me, but the whispers grew larger and more believable, and I started to believe them, and the whispers were, you're not good at anything. You're not good at leading. You're not a good dad. You're not a good husband. You're unlovable. I mean, that was, you know, a big one. It got to a point, really, where I know with her, but also with the church that I was leading for, I was looking for so much validation to offset the lies that were going off in my head that it was hard for them to keep up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's such a huge temptation that really any of us can face, is to get confused who we are with what we do. Mm-hmm. And especially a public person who's on a platform, I would imagine that would be a strong temptation. So that's kind of taking hold on you and things aren't going well. And then what's happening with you while this is happening?
Yeah, well, from the outside, everything looked really nice and shiny. And, you know, we were identified as the power couple. And I don't know how that happened, but maybe it's just because we're two, like, very passionate people and we were living, you know, very public lives. But on the inside, our family was suffering. Mm-hmm. I had become very busy, and my counselor describes it. She tells me that busyness is my nemesis. So I always have to be mindful of that. But it was very hard to juggle business and family and emotions, and it began to get very unhealthy for us.
Yeah, and so the point where things are starting to spiral out of control, you guys made a decision about worship leading, and what was that?
Yeah, I was supposed to be leading my family spiritually and biblically, and I was leading them into my stuff, the anger and the bitterness and the lies and stuff like that. And I was for sure wearing off on her.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I would start conversations with her and be real mad. And she'd be like, you know what? You're right. And we'd get so angry together. And
we argued all the time.
We argued all the time and then argued about everybody else all the time as well.
Yeah.
It got to a point where we were impossible to deal with, pretty much. So we were asked to take a break from worship leading. And that crushed me because it wasn't healthy, but unfortunately I had wrapped my entire identity of who I was into being a worship leader. Not a father, not a husband, not a Christian, not a Christ follower, a worship leader. Yeah. So it crushed me when I was asked to stop leading, and time went on and time went on and we got more mad. More bitter, more angry, that we both just threw up our hands and said, no more worship leading. We're retired. That's it. We're not doing this anymore.
So you go from thriving to retirement, but not like a surrendered retirement. Nope. More of a like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
This is over. I'm angry.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what's happening in your life when you have an incident that really is sort of the end of the downward spiral for you. It happened on your son's 15th birthday. Can you take us to that incident?
Yes. our son's 15th birthday, it was the day of his birthday. He had just gotten his learners, and we're driving back from a hitting lesson. He plays baseball. And we're coming up on an intersection, and I lean over and I tell him, hey, you know, this is an iffy intersection, so you want to slow down when you're getting up to it, just to be safe, just to be careful in case something happens. Good parenting.
That was your cue.
Yeah.
Yes, good parenting.
You said it every time. Yes. I was waiting on it.
She said it every time.
I do
want to
affirm that. Good parenting right there. Yes.
We're getting to the intersection, and someone turns out into the intersection right in front of us. And they don't try to make it. They stop. Mm. And I slam on the brakes. It doesn't help. Slam into this person. Immediately, we're airborne. Yeah. We start rolling, flipping on the road. I can hear all sorts of crazy stuff. The entire time I'm asking, I'm just saying, please stop. Mm. Please stop.
Yeah.
We land on the wheels. Everything is shattered. Can't get out of the doors. Airbags smell really bad. Mm. I don't know if you know. It's weird.
Yeah.
It smells. Everything is ripped off the top of the Jeep. Everything is scattered along the road in the grass. And I look over at our son, who is fine.
Wow.
And are you okay? Yes, are you? I said, is my face bleeding? Because I had the airbag. I thought my face was shaved off. It was crazy. Even like the police showed up and they said, we don't show up to these scenes and see people.
And people
alive.
Are okay. Wow.
It was bruising.
Wow.
And that was it. The thing about that wreck, that accident, that hurts so much, is I am not surprised that that happened. Because I was praying that God would take me.
Wow.
Sorry.
Oop, get it together.
Yep, wow. I'm trying. I had wrapped my entire identity into leading, and it had been gone for a long time. Hmm. And what took its place was hopelessness, was anger, and bitterness. And it ruled my life so much that I wanted to go.
Wow.
I was asking God to take me because I was convinced that no one loved me, that I was unlovable, and that everyone around me would be better off if I was gone.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
That must have been terrifying. Must have been terrifying. And for you, terrifying for you too, and probably in such a different way. What was life like?
Yeah, that was a really tough moment for us. I didn't quite know how kind of gone he was, you know, emotionally, because I was so busy. And at that point in time, we were really just kind of acting like roommates, which can happen very quickly in marriage if you're not very, very careful. We were juggling so much, but this accident, you guys need to know that my husband, has made me coffee every morning for almost 20 years, which is pretty good.
That's a good husband points right there.
Right? And so yeah. I woke up the next morning after the accident, and I had hot coffee sitting on my counter.
Wow.
And I was like, this could have not been here yesterday.
Mm. Wow. What a perspective shift. The simple things of life just kind of snap you right back.
Yeah, it was the shift that we needed. God was telling us that you're going to lose your family one way or another. It might be in a car accident. It might be, you know, emotional. It could be a crazy array of things, right, that could happen. But that was his warning to us that y'all need to turn around and you need to do it for the generations that are coming after you.
Wow. Mark, what shifted in your perspective that day?
Yeah, it was like God was saying, this is what you're asking for, and I'm going to show you what it looks like. Mm. Not in a mean way.
Yeah.
In a loving dad way.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you know about that loving dad now?
That I don't have to perform for that love. Mm-hmm. That love was there before I was born. Mm-hmm. That Jesus is my identity. It's not what I do. You know, it's mm-hmm. not who I try to be. Jesus is my identity. It was after that accident, it was literally like, I felt God grab me face to face and say, that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Those are lies that you've believed. No more. Mm-hmm. And he said, we got a lot of work to do, but you're mine.
And wow. I saw the shift almost immediately. Yeah.
What was your shift like?
Oh, man. I went through a time period where I needed to believe that he can still do miracles and that he was still faithful to heal families and to bring couples back together. If you've ever been in a rocky point in time in your marriage, you know it's a really hard thing to turn around. And I had to believe that what the songs that we sang for so many years, I was begging him to make those true for us.
Mm. Yeah. You know, you mentioned the rebuild, you know, that God turned you around and he set you on this path of rebuilding. And rebuilding doesn't happen overnight. I know y'all been on a journey for the past couple years. What's the biggest thing you've learned about yourself individually on the rebuild journey?
I mean, surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrender is the best place to be. Mm. When you surrender your life to God, when you surrender your thoughts to God, he's the best one to take care of. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, and it's the same with your marriage.
Mm-hmm. It's harder for the devil to get in there too when you're fully surrendered.
Because I was convinced I knew best.
Yeah. You know what I love about your story is you went from a power couple to a surrendered couple, and it made all the difference. So that's your story today. But what's going to be your song? What song punctuates this past season of your life, Carissa?
I am going to sing I Speak Jesus. Mm-hmm. There were so many moments where all, and I mean, I'm telling you this, if you walked in feeling this way this morning, because it's so real. But I have been in a moment in time where I had no hope, no thoughts of what my future would look like. Our business was beginning to, you know, kind of exit its way out of our lives. And I kid you not when I tell you that I only had Jesus. And I don't necessarily mean in like my space, but like the only thing that I could figure that might help is saying Jesus, yeah. Because I needed him to do what it says in the song. I wanted Jesus for my family. That was my number one goal. We could have ended up being any story, but I wanted it and I was eager and I fought because Jesus for my family,
yeah,
was what I wanted the ending to be. Yeah.
Mark, what about you? What song are you gonna sing for us?
It's a song that I've done a lot and it has a lot of new meaning to me. No longer slaves. Mm-hmm. In the bridge, it says, you rescued me and I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. He rescued me twice. The first time, the second time it's different from the first time. Salvation, rescuing me from sin and death. The second time, he's rescuing me from myself.
Yeah.
And the lies that I believed that were the furthest thing from the truth.
Here's what I would love for us to do. I would love for us to stand and sing these songs with Mark and Clarissa.
Please.
Thank you guys.
I am a child of God.
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Here it is right now. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. And maybe you need this moment right now to proclaim.
Mark, Clarissa, and Tan. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Y'all get up here with me. Mark, get on up here. Can we thank them? Yeah. Hey, before you go, I just want to say this. Many of you have been around our church for a long time, but some of you are new here today and you're wondering, does this place always make you cry? And so the answer is no, but today was special. But here's something consistent that you can expect, something that we say around here all the time, and we believe it to be true. We have found that following Jesus has made our lives better and made us better at life. Following him through the heartache, through the uncertainties, through the ups and downs of life. And one of our greatest joys as a church is to celebrate the life change and the perspective change that following Jesus brings. So I don't know where all of this hits you today. I don't know what song you have on repeat. I don't know where you are in your story, but here's what I want to remind you. You have a God that loves you and wants to enter in. He wants to be close because the most true thing about him is that he is love. He will love you in and through your story. Next week, we're gonna hear another great story. I cannot promise that you won't cry, but April Farmer will be here with us. It's gonna be incredible. You do not wanna miss next Sunday. Thank you so much for being here today. We love you guys, and we will see you in the halls.